As we're standing, why don't you grab your Bibles? We're going to read a couple verses. By the way, it's a shame that after the national anthem, we think time to play ball. But there's a little bit more to it than that. Proverbs chapter 11. We're going to read two verses. And they're both in Proverbs. And then we'll pray and we'll be seated. Proverbs chapter 11. Let's look at verse number 14, please. Proverbs 11:14 says this, "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." Turn over one chapter to Proverbs chapter 12, please. Verse 15. It says, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." And let's pray. Our Father, we pray that in these few minutes that we have together here, that you would help us to get what we need, Lord. We make so many decisions in our life, and if we would just simply follow you, Lord, we can avoid making bad decisions, and we make the kind of decisions that would help us to be what you want us to be and to get to where you want us to get to. Bless now the remainder of our service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we have mentioned, on many occasions here, the direction of our life is determined greatly by the decisions that we make. We just finished a series on the prodigal son. The prodigal son got himself into trouble because he made bad decisions. All of us in our lives are faced with making decisions. Now, some decisions are minor, okay? Excuse me. What am I having for lunch today? That's a minor decision. Let me retract that. That's a big decision. But it's not going to change your life, all right? No matter where you go. Unless you go to McDonald's, that could change your life by making it much shorter. Okay, so how many of you realize I don't like McDonald's? I mean, I'm not into horse meat. But how many times has somebody influenced us in our decision-making? By the way, whether we ask a person and we get their advice, which we're going to talk about today, or they influence us kind of like secondhand. In other words, we're with them and we hear things and we're being influenced. But the decisions we make are basically by the principles we're learning. Some people, you learn it passively. You can learn it stuff you hear on the radio. By the way, I just don't. When someone says something, I don't just believe it because they said it. Everybody's got an opinion. When I come into work in the morning, I'll listen to. There's one little sports show. The guy, and he actually has good stuff about life sometimes. But sometimes he gets off on left field. He'll start talking about something. I turn him off. It's like, I ain't listening to that. That's, you know, tell me a score, but don't tell me what you think about the way we ought to live. Some of the things you watch on television. By the way, some of the nonsense they put on television, it's there to try to change your way of thinking. They're not adding some of that stuff on accident. And some of that stuff doesn't even need to be part of the story. They're adding it there because they have an agenda or they're trying to change the way we think about something. It could be in a movie. It could be an acquaintance. We read a couple of verses here that mention counsel. Counsel. Counsel can be good and counsel can be bad. When I'm talking about counsel this morning, I'm talking about learning principles from a right perspective. What is counsel? A generic definition would be, counsel is finding out from outside sources principles and truths that apply to specific areas and situations in life. See, all of us have situations in life. All of us have areas of life, and we need to make decisions, and the decisions we're going to make are based on what thoughts are streaming through our mind, what principles we're choosing to live our life by. The way we see the world, the way we see life, is the way we're going to make the decisions that we make. Nobody has all the answers to all the problems or situations that we face. And by the way, if you think you know the answers to all the questions, that's because you don't know all the questions. Okay? Nobody knows them. But there is a place that we can go to find them. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says this: according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You see, God's principles have power to help us in two areas: life and godliness. Godliness would talk about that spiritual aspect of our life, how we're supposed to live, what God says. The life aspect, or just the common sense things of life that we face on a daily basis. The Bible talks about those things. And what we have a tendency to do in our life, we separate those two. Well, that's a church thing. That's a spiritual thing. But over here, that's a life thing, and the two are completely different. Let me say this. No, they're not. Your life is everything spiritual. And God talks about everything in our life. In a spiritual sense, a counselor is one who shares God's principles for your given situation. Wrong counsel can get you in trouble. There's a verse in Numbers chapter 31 and verse 16. It says this: behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. In other words, Balaam was hired by Balak to come and curse the children of Israel for Balak. Balak was of Moab, and he was concerned. He was scared of them militarily. And so he thought in mysticism, and I'll hire Balak, he'll come and curse them, and we'll be able to beat them in battle. Well, when he went there, if you know the story, God did not allow him to curse them. But what happened is, if you read the Bible mentioned where Balaam is mentioned, what happened is, when Balaam left, he told Balak what to do. And basically, the counsel he gave him was this: said, listen, you cannot get God to curse his people, you can't get me just to curse them, but you can get them to bring God's curse upon themselves. And primarily by them intermarrying with the children of Israel. God did not want them intermarrying with them because they were idol worshipers. And so what they did, they started disobeying God, and that brought God's judgment. If you remember the story of Solomon's son Rehoboam, when he took over the kingdom, towards the end of Solomon's life, Solomon had got away from God. And Solomon was pretty rough with the people. When he died, the people came to him and said, Rehoboam, and told him, said, listen, if you'll just back off of some of the pressure you're putting on us, we'll serve you, and we'll be your servants. We'll do whatever you want. And so what Rehoboam did is he went and talked to the older men who served with Solomon, and they said, that's a good idea. Then he went and talked to his buddies that he graduated from high school with. They're like, oh, man, you go tell him you're going to be worse than your father. And he did. He said he forsook the good counsel. He took the bad counsel. And guess what the children of Israel did? 10 out of the 12 tribes said, you're not our king. We're out of here. Bad counsel. That happens. But when we get good counsel, we're blessed. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. God says, where are we getting these thoughts that we are using to make the decisions in our life? Who is the influence? Who is helping us to make those decisions? Then there's a person that says, I don't go to anybody. I don't listen to anybody. I make the decisions based on what I feel and what I think. The Bible has a verse for you too. Proverbs 16:25. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, I want to give you several things about counsel this morning. It's very important how we make our decisions. Number one, why we want counsel. Why do people want counsel in the first place? Now, if you've been here a while, you may have got the thought that I'm against counsel. I'm not against getting counsel. I'm against counseling. There's a difference. Somebody just wants to get with somebody and just chit-chat about their problems all the time. I don't have time for that. You don't have time for that. Nobody has time for that. That's not what counsel is. Counsel is finding out what you need to do from God in a specific situation and getting out there and doing it. It's not that hard. Let me give you a couple things under why we need counsel. Why does someone really, really need counsel? By the way, I'll say this. A lot of the counsel people get would be unnecessary if they'll follow some of the things I'm going to say in a few minutes. I'm going to be very practical in a few minutes, and we can avoid a lot of drama, and we can avoid a lot of things if we would just follow some of the things I'm going to give you. But a lot of times we don't. But a lot of times, why do we want counsel? Because we have a sincere desire to serve God, but we don't know what to do next. That's a good reason. Some of the reasons are good. When I was a new Christian and I just started coming to church and I was going to church, I was growing my faith, I really didn't know what was next in my life, but I didn't know a lot of things back then. I was just glad to be to church and I was working, having a great time, growing in the Lord, it was all good. But I heard Brother Black, my pastor, and he would always talk about people coming in for counsel. Now, I had no idea what that was, and I had no problems. And, you know, I was single at that time, so I had no problems. Everything was great. And so, you know, I'm just serving God. I'm working. I'm making. It was great. But I thought, well, you know, people are going to talk to Brother Black, so I should go talk to him because other people do. And I didn't realize you didn't go talk to him unless you needed help with something. So I scheduled an appointment. Said, I need to talk to Brother Black. And we used to have men's prayer meeting on Saturday night. So I went. He scheduled an appointment with me right afterwards. We went in his office. He said, what can I do for you? I said, well, I've heard you talk about people coming into your office to talk to you, and I've never done that, so I thought I would. He's like, okay, Steve. And then the conversation took a very devious turn. He looked at me and said, you need to go to Bible college. I'm like, whoa, whoa, that is not why I came here. I'm like, did you understand I didn't even finish high school? I didn't even go to high school. I mean, I was there. I was enrolled, but that's where my friends were. That's why I went. I didn't even go to high school. And you're telling me to go to Bible college. Then it got worse. He slid open the drawer, and he had a packet. He said, you need to go to Bible college in Indiana. Now, I know a couple things about Indiana. It's cold, and it snows. Snow's all right for pictures. Okay, I mean, I'm a California boy. I've never been, and he sent me off to Bible college. But let me tell you something. Now, for my case, that was what I needed. Yeah. He knew that's what I needed, and he sent me off. He knew I wanted to serve God, but I was just kind of there, and I needed something, that next step, and I'm glad he knew that. Sometimes we have a sincere desire to serve God, but we kind of don't know what's the next step. Counsel can help us find that. Also, sometimes we have sincere questions that we don't know the answer to. Early on in your Christian life, if you're new, there's things that'll come up and it's like, man, I don't know the answer to that. By the way, there's nothing wrong with that. That's why you have a Sunday school teacher. That's why there's people around here you're close to. It's like, hey, what is this all about? Asking questions. There is nothing wrong with that at all. Amen. Sometimes we have a problem and we don't know what to do. Now, hopefully, we can start finding some answers on our own as we grow in the Lord. That happens, but sometimes we legitimately have a problem, and it's like, what would God want me to do? I'm not sure what God would want me to do in this question, and so we want to go find out where we get that. By the way, most people get those answers in the wrong places. Before I was a staff member at church, before I had my own business, I worked at a paper company. And I remember we'd go, you know, you sit in the break room and you hear all kinds of off-the-wall things. But it used to always crack me up when a guy would be sitting there and he'd start whining about his wife to another guy. And this guy's telling him, well, let me tell you what I would do if I were you. And I'm thinking, that guy's on his third wife. And he's dishing out marriage advice to this guy. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Well, let me tell you what I'd do if that was my kid. He's got two kids in jail. And worse than that, he has another kid who's a Raider fan. It's bad. But But that's how we are. We get it from people that don't know what's going on. We need to find people that know something from God to say, here's what God says about your problem. Now, let me give you a couple negatives. Sometimes we want counsel because we want God to change somebody else. This is called marriage counsel. Now, look, if you ever come to me for marriage counsel, I guarantee you, you can check my office. I do not have a ref shirt. We're not doing referee. That's not, you know, what comes in here, husband and wife come in, they sit down, and here's what the wife wants. I want you to change this guy. Now look, I have no spoofle dust in my drawer. He's changed, take him home. It doesn't work that way. He's looking and saying, change my wife. I'm like, man, you've been trying for 20 years. What do you think I can do in 5 minutes? It ain't happening. I have one I've been trying to change for 26 years. It's not going to work. Okay? There's a blessing in here somewhere. I just don't know where it is. Listen, I can't change her. I can't change him. I can't even change myself. But I'll tell you, watch. The only person you can change in a situation is you. That's it. Can't change my wife. I'm still trying, but I can't do it. But I can change me. Okay? So if you're coming in saying, everything's good for me, here's a bozo. No. Look, by the way, anything, there's two sides to every story. Yep. Two sides. And so if you're not willing to come in to say, what can I do to make the situation better? It never works. We try to change somebody else. Sometimes, you know what we do? We want approval for our plans. See, we already made up our mind, apart from what God would say, apart from what anybody else would say, but we want someone to kind of put their stamp of approval on what we're doing. Right? I've told the story before, but if you're new, it'll be new for you. Years ago, I left to go help someone start a church in Florida. I still don't like the word Florida to this day. It brings back bad memories. And so several of us did that, and pastors talked about it before. So we were going to go, and my wife and I, we were newlyweds. I think we'd been married about a year, and we had an apartment. We both quit my job. We got a rental van we shared with another guy that was going. We put some of our furniture in there. We were packed up. Our apartment was empty. Well, someone told me, he said, you know, you should talk to Brother Black because Brother Black thinks it's a good idea. Now, I hadn't asked him. But I thought, wow, here it is. I can actually call and get someone's stamp of approval on what I'm doing. So they didn't have cell phones. Our apartment was done. Our truck was loaded. Okay, I stopped at a payphone. I called Brother Black. I said, hey, Brother Black, I'm going to be going to Florida to help start a church. I'm going to finish college down there, blah, 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 blah. I told him all this stuff, and I'm like, and I was waiting for him to say, man, Steve, that is a great idea. Go for it. By the way, the van was already packed. I don't know if I mentioned that. And he goes, now, let me get this right, Steve. You're leaving? Yes, sir. And you're going down here? Yeah. And he mentioned everything. He goes, all right, Steve, here's what I think. He goes, bad move. I'm thinking, I'm already going. Like, thanks for your advice, Brother Black. I appreciate it. See you later. I went. I couldn't stop. I quit my job. I was out. By the way, when I was living in Florida for that decade, I lived there from 1996 to 1997. While I was there for that decade, that was the longest year of my life. And it was not good. But every time I'd be sitting there struggling with it. I'd hear I'd hear that voice in my mind. Florida? Bad move. Okay, I learned. Look, people sometimes come to my office. They'll say, I want to talk to you about, they'll come and tell me what they're doing. I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. Can I just tell you something? I don't say anything. Because there's not a question there. Unless you're really, 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 really close to me, I might interject and say, that's dumb. I'm sorry. I'm trying not to say that. That's ill-advised. Now, if it was one of my children telling me what they're going to do and I don't agree with that, I have no problem saying I disagree. But, you know, I'm not, by the way, on the other hand, they say it, I'm not going to say, oh, that's great, go for it. I'm not going to say that either. It's okay. Should we pray before you leave? Because they didn't ask. And sometimes you give people advice, but they don't ask. How does that usually work? Not very well. So why we want counsel? Number two, why do we need it? Now, I'm going to tell you some. Now let me say this, because some people have the idea I'm totally against getting advice from the Bible about things. I'm not. I'm just saying a lot of the times we wouldn't need to. You understand what I'm saying? There are times we need to. There's times when I need to. Okay? But I'm going to give you some reasons why we need to sometimes. First of all, because we don't listen in church. In other words, sometimes in church, situations are discussed, biblical principles are discussed that apply to a situation, and the situation doesn't apply to you right now, so you don't listen very well. Or you don't really get it, and then that situation comes in your life, and what happens is you weren't listening, and so you could have avoided all this in the first place. You know what I'm talking about. I remember the Bible college I went to, they had two services in the evening. They had a church service, but they had a service before that. It was at that time the biggest church in America, and the pastor would just have question and answer. And it'd be like a 40-minute service. People could ask whatever questions they want. Now, sometimes they would ask questions like, you know, who's going to win the World Series or whatever, just to kind of lighten it up. But they would ask questions, you know, hey, there's a situation. What do you think? And I don't know how many times I heard the pastor say, were you here in church 4 weeks ago when I preached this message on this? And they'll say, yeah, I was. He goes, well, in that message, I said this. You know what he was trying to say to them in a subliminal way? You really didn't need to ask that question. If you listened 4 weeks ago, you'd already know the answer. But how many times do we not get it? Sometimes church becomes like Charlie Brown's teacher. You know, wah, 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 wah. Oh, actually, sometimes church becomes like when your wife talks to you. It's like, wah, 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 trash. Wah, 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 wah. Yeah. We don't listen in church. You say, but I'm not going through that right now. You know, you might go through it later. Okay? Something might come up later, and the more the principles we learn, the more something comes, and he's like, I already know what God says about that situation. And it works. Another reason why we need counsel is because we don't spend time in God's word. We read the verse in Psalm chapter 1 where it says about counsel and not walking in wrong counsel. Verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now listen to that last phrase. God says, anything you do will prosper. Wow. How would you like to be prosperous in anything you do? But wait a minute. If I just went to some person and said, you know what, I'm going to back you. Anything you do, I'll make sure it prospers financially if I had all the money in the world. Or I wouldn't do that. But God can say that because here's the issue. If it's connected to God's word, you'll want the right things. And when something's connected to God's word and you want the right things, God will always bless that.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
But it's all connected to the word. When we read in the Bible about 1 Peter, God's word helps us spiritually and it helps us practically in our life. See, some people have this idea that, you know, church is church life and my life outside of church is my life outside of church. Well, first of all, let's not talk about church. Let's talk about Christianity. If you're a Christian, you are not a Christian just on Sunday morning. You are a Christian 24/7. All of us have a nationality. Now, most of us, because we're in America here, our nationalities, unless you're first generation coming over from your country, our nationalities are mixed. I am the only white guy in my house. Okay? I'm white. My husband. She thinks she is sometimes, but I'm the husband. This is Long Beach. Come on, we're progressive. Snap out of it. All right, I just lost you. My wife is Mexican. Explains a lot of things. And my children are. Whatever, they claim whatever, you know, if it helps them be white today, we'll be white. If it helps us to be Hispanic, we'll be that too, all right? But what you are is what you are, okay? It is what we are. If you're a Christian, you're a Christian 24/7. So the Bible and spirituality ought to affect every part of your life, and everything you do ought to be based off the fact, hey, I'm a Christian. That's just how it is. We don't segregate the two. We don't separate the two. Look, I mentioned before, I'm married, and I am married to a lady, okay? Not a guy. That was a mistake. But I am married. You know how often I am married? I have been married every minute of every day since June 1st, 1985. I've been married every minute of the day. I didn't just get married and say, now we're married on these days, but these days I'm taking off. Man, that sounds like a bad idea. Okay, that's what I'm married. I have a wife. I'm a husband. I'm not a husband sometimes. I'm a husband all the time. And starting November 23rd, 1986, I became a father. And I've been a father every minute of the day since then. A couple years ago, I became a grandfather, which is much better than being a father. Because when they're little brats, you send them home. Okay? Works out nicely. And if Allison gets on the stick, I'm going to be a grandfather again soon. We are what we are all the time. We don't segregate it. So we're a Christian all the time, and God wants us. So let's be a Christian. Let's get in God's word, and we find the answers to everything we need. See, there is more to Christianity, and I'm losing time here, but pray for me. There's more to Christianity than just Sunday morning church, okay? More to it than that. That's where I started out. I started going to church. I said, man, I'm a Christian. I want to serve God. I want to get right with God. So I went to church on Sunday morning for, you know, like 4 weeks in a row. And I'm like, I got to make this thing a part of my life. So I made a commitment to it. But there's more to Christianity than going to church. You have to get in God's word for yourself. How many of you would only eat one day a week? How many of you would say, I need to eat only one day a week for a while? That's me. Okay, some of us, we need to do that, right? I'll ask you in January, and everybody's philosophy will be different then. But we wouldn't only eat. Look, I'm eating today, but I'm going to eat tomorrow too. Is that okay? And I'll probably eat Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. You're not going to get by with just what you get in church. And by the way, I'd encourage you to come to more services, but even if you come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and to our Thursday night Bible study, that's not enough. We've got to get in God's word for ourselves so we know what God says. And then the last reason why we need counsel is because we're not putting into practice what the Bible says. Don't turn to it, but you can write this verse down. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Here we go. That thou mayest observe to do. Amen. Why do we learn God's word? So we can do what it says, so we can be like back in Psalms, prospered in our life. If you're not willing to do what God says, then don't try to figure out what God wants you to do in a situation. If you're not willing to listen. Years ago, I had somebody at the old church, they were in my singles class, and they came up to me, they started talking about a problem, and they're getting into it. I'm like, you know what? I cut them off. I said, that's a problem, but you can get through that. Let me tell you how. He goes, no. He goes, I don't want you to tell me what to do. I don't want to listen to that. I just want to tell you what my problems are. And I'm like, oh. I said, okay, go ahead, continue. And he started, and I turned and walked away from him. He goes, hey, where are you going? I'm like, I don't want to listen to that. You want me to get down too? If you're looking for answers, let's get answers. If you just want to gripe about what's going on, go tell somebody else. I don't want to get depressed because of your problems. We have to say, look, what does God want me to do? And if we're doing what God wants us to do, you know, we're gonna miss a lot of those problems. Miss them. I was in Chicago years ago. I took my friend. We had bus routes in Chicago. My friend had a bus route, and I was we were getting dropped off. We dropped them off. It was a little street. It was a very bad area. It was called Kenmore, and the nickname of the street was Murder Alley. It was like a 2-block thing separated by the L train and a cemetery, and it was a bad area. And that was one bus route on 2 blocks. There was so many kids there, and it was. And so I saw him there. He was getting dropped off, and there was a drunkard over there. A guy was a drunkard. He goes, that guy right there, I see him every week. He's got the book of Proverbs memorized. I'm like, he's an alcoholic? Yeah, but he's got the whole book of Proverbs memorized. I said, get out of here. He said, he does. So I said, I'm going to ask him. So I went over to the guy. I introduced myself. I said, hey, someone told me you have the book of Proverbs memorized. He goes, I do. I'm like, start somewhere and let's go. And he did. He just picked it up right in the middle of the book and was like, blah, 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 blah. He knew it. But you know what? It didn't help him at all. He might want to remember that one verse in Proverbs, you know, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. He had that one memorized, but he did not have it lived. Okay? If we're willing to do what God's word says, we bypass a lot of drama. Yes, now, give me a couple minutes and we'll be done here. Let me give you, and we kind of alluded to it, Where do we get counsel? When all of us have needs, all of us have decisions, and we have decisions, we ought to say, man, I want to make the right decision. So how do we get that? Let me give you several things. I've already mentioned them, but let's just throw it out there. First of all, we get it from God's word. Just pure and simple. Proverbs 8:14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Psalm 72:24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. The Bible is our source of what to do. It is. That's why we need to know it. That's why we need to be in it. That's why we need to listen to it taught. You can't get enough. Stuff is going to come at you in life faster than the speed of sound. And when you get married, I almost said it gets worse. That sounds negative. But now you got two people involved in the situation. Then you got other stages of life coming, so you need it more. Then you start having children. You got other things coming at you. Not bad. It's just, it is what it is. But we need to know God's word. Okay? Counsel comes from God's word. Next, it comes from wise people. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now look, I love my friends when I got right with God. Love my friends, still do. But can I tell you something? I quit hanging with them. Because I knew what we would be doing when I hung with them. Because I knew what we did when I hung with them before I was right with God. Now, I brought them to church. Say, hey man, I'm going to church now. Why don't you come with me? But I knew I could not get in the situations I was in with them and still serve God properly. Because that wasn't the direction of their life. Now, some of them came to church with me. They came to know the Lord, and that was great. But I'm just saying, I couldn't let them. I wanted to be around people that were what I wanted to be. Yeah. I wanted to be with people that were at where I wanted to get myself to. Yes, because they just had it in their life, and I can learn from them. And so, and by the way, if you read the verse, let's be a little negative here for a minute. The opposite is true. A companion to fools shall be destroyed. If I don't know how many times before I was a Christian, I got in trouble because I was hanging around with some guys that they just got in trouble. And if they were getting in trouble, I was front and center with them. I'll be honest with you, two of the worst I ever hung around with were Brother Joe and Johnny Esposito. Okay? When we were kids, I started hanging around with them, and man, they were horrible. Now, they'll blame it on my brother. Okay, they say my older brother corrupted them, and they corrupted me, so the circle of life was complete. Okay, but there was a lot of corruption going on there. But I'm glad when Pastor Esposito got saved, that one of the first things he did, he came after me, so I'd get saved too. But we got to be careful. Being with wise people that know God. Listen in church. Okay, listen. I don't mean sit up straight and listen. You're all listening. You know what I'm saying. Listen, get some things from the Bible we're talking about. Say, aha, because you say, well, that doesn't apply to my life right now. But, you know, that problem might come your way. Okay, that problem might come your way, and you put it there. Like children of our church, they hear stuff about, you know, marriage and child rearing. They're not married now, but you know what? One day they will be. And by the way, I'm thankful they'll be a lot farther ahead. Then I didn't hear anything about marriage, and I came from a single family home. I didn't hear anything about marriage, okay? Next, seek to learn God's truth on your own. Proverbs 18:1, through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. And we talked about that. And then the last thing is this, and there is nothing wrong with this. Talking to someone one-on-one. You see, maybe you're growing in your faith. Maybe you're going forward. You're spending time in God's word. You're doing all those things. But a situation arises, and you still really don't know the answers. Hey, Gary, can you sit down for 1 second, bud? Thanks. You really don't know all the answers. Then go to someone who you think maybe knows the Bible a little better than you and ask them, hey, do you know what God's word says? What should I do in this situation? What do you think God would tell me to do? There's nothing wrong with that. Now, I'll say that. I've done that in my life, but those times in my life are a lot less now if I spend more time in God's word and I'm doing the other things. Amen. Okay? And by the way, a lot of times what happens, we come with problems because what we did is we didn't know God's word, and so we made bad decisions and we got ourselves in bad situations. If we knew God's word, we could have avoided those in the first place, and we wouldn't have to be going now to get help. And so what is the key? The key is always, if you've been around here, it's not a broken record, it's God's word. Let's get into it, okay? Let's pray together.